Hearty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's begin in your backyard of Los Angeles. Heavyweight title fight this weekend.
VOA!
Tell our VOA listeners about that.
Sonny, this is for the vacant title once owned by Vitali Klitschko. Two heavyweights will tangle right here in Los Angeles. Brandon Stevenson, he's from Haiti, and Chris Arreola from Los Angeles. They will fight for the vacant title, and they fought that last year. Arreola had a broken nose and got stopped by Berman. So we're looking for an exciting heavyweight fight in Los Angeles, and it's going to be Saturday night.
Nnamdi, still with the heavyweights. A former champion, Jimmy Ellis, has passed. He held the heavyweight belt in the late 60s and early 70s. What do you remember about Jimmy Ellis?
We will remember him for being the champion and also losing to Joe Frazier in 1970 and also being stopped by Muhammad Ali in 1971 in the 12th round. We look at an era where we had great heavyweights like Ron Lai. He fought Ron Lai, Joe Bogner, Floyd Patterson, Jerry Quarry. These heavyweights were top of the line compared to what we have today. So Jimmy Ellis, a former WBA champion, we will always remember him. May his soul rest in peace.
Another former heavyweight champion, Nnamdi, Samuel Peter of Nigeria. I remember you saying he was going to fight in a tournament in New Zealand. Is that still on for Big Sam?
He pulled out of that silly tournament supposed to happen in New Zealand. I mean, he has some calf injury. You know, he has no business going into a tournament whereby you fight three guys on the same night. That was just like a freak show. So thank God he's no longer involved in that, and hopefully he can come back and get a couple of fights and get his career going on.
Like I always say, for every fight, everybody had a game plan. As of right now, there's not a blueprint on how to beat Floyd Mayweather. No one has found the way to break the Mayweather code.
Floyd Mayweather unifies the welterweight belts, remains unbeaten, but one of the toughest fights of his career, he wins a majority decision against Marcos Maidana of Argentina. First off, Nnamdi, was it a fair decision? I know one judge ruled the fight even.
It was a fair decision, but Sonny, don't forget that lots of people want to see Mayweather lose, you know. So right there, you have haters. He controlled the fight. The bully was Maidana. But also don't forget, you watched the fight. It was a dirty fight. Dirty fight. The referee allowed a couple of low blows. But he pushed Mayweather. What surprised me was that I expected Mayweather to box and stay off the ropes. But he stayed on the ropes and he got cracked a couple of times. And then he got headbutted. So it wasn't an easy fight for Mayweather. But it's one fight we will see, we will talk about whereby he was really, really pushed. But he survived and he was able to control the fight. Was able to adjust in the second half of the fight. Not every fighter can adjust.
Nnamdi, you say it was a dirty fight. In fact, Floyd Mayweather at the post-fight news conference accused Maidana of being a dirty fighter. Let's listen now to his comments.
He was the guy that was holding me with one hand, hit me with another. He was the guy that was trying to knee me. Yes, absolutely. Like I said, he's a regular guy. I thought that I was the boxer and he was the WWE wrestler. That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Nnamdi, Floyd also talked about what's next, whether there'll be a rematch against Maidana. Let's listen in again to Floyd Mayweather.
I just don't know what I'm going to do in my next fight. But like I said before, whoever it is, they think they're going to have the remedy to break the Mayweather code. It's not going to happen. I'm always going to find a way to win. Like I said before, You got guys that go to the body real good, but I always find a way to win.
Namdi, who might be a possible next opponent for Floyd Mayweather?
Well, before this fight with Maidana, people talked about Amir Khan being the next one. But Amir Khan had a good fight with Luis Collazo. He had Luis Collazo down 3 times, and moving up to a welterweight, he put up a good show. But Amir Khan will not be ready in September because, you know, he's a devout Muslim, and we have Ramadan and lack of liquid. So he wants to be ready. He's going to be ready in November. Floyd Money Mayweather paying you will not make that adjustment to accommodate you. So Amir Khan is out for the September fight. Look for Amir Khan in May 2015. Then we come back to the rematch. Everybody's talking about a rematch. The rematch is still a dangerous fight, you know. Go back and look at the fight with Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley. Remember the first fight? And then come back and look at the second fight of Timothy Bradley and Manny Pacquiao. Same thing. First fight, Manny won easily. Second fight, Manny won easily. The second fight, if we go for a rematch with Mayweather and Maidana, don't expect Mayweather to go toe-to-toe and do a rope-a-dope on the ropes. No way. Mayweather is going to go in and box. And what will happen? He will win an easy decision. He said after the fight that he gave the fans what they wanted. But at the age of 37, getting banged up like this, I mean, hitting behind the head by Maidana, bullied around the ring, we don't want to see that again. But if the rematch is what the fans want, he will give them the rematch. But don't expect him to go toe-to-toe with Maidana in September.
Namdi, you talk about Floyd being against the ropes, giving the fans what they want. It kind of reminded me a little bit of when he fought Cotto, the number of times that he was hit. Your thoughts?
You're right about the calls, Sonny. The Cotto fight was a tough fight for Mayweather. Remember, this same fight with Maidana, we saw him with blood the first time, head butted, it was bloody, and he didn't in panic. So it's not going to be easy fight like everybody. Because remember, before this fight, Maidana was 12-1 underdog. Yeah, so you're fighting a guy who will throw everything at you with all this rabbit punch, low blow, kick you and all that, you know. Anything can happen. One of those big right hand lands and you'll be out of there.
Namdi, I remember you saying you thought Floyd's preparations were good for Maidana, and yet maybe there were some distractions ahead of the fight?
Sonny, lots of distraction before the fight. I mean, breaking up with your girlfriend of many years and talking about she had an abortion for your twins and controversy about the green gloves because Maidana wanted the gloves with less pad so that when he hits you, you feel it. Mayweather said, no way, you know, I want to be healthy after the fight game. So Mayweather said, if you don't change the gloves to the more padded gloves, there's no fight. So the controversy about the gloves, breaking up with a girlfriend, and all the other little things, he was not on the ball, really.
Oscar De La Hoya, some trouble in his camp on the promotional front. Where are we now with Oscar De La Hoya?
Well, De La Hoya and Barbarum of Top Rank, they've decided to work together, which means we'll see fights between Top Rank fighters and Golden Boy fighters. The head of Golden Boy, the CEO of Golden Boy, Richard Schaefer and Bob Barham, they don't like each other. So which means there's no chance we will see a fight between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather because Richard Schaefer will go with Mayweather Promotions and head Mayweather Promotions, and then Oscar De La Hoya will be on his own with Golden Boy, and that fight will not happen.
On the undercard of Mayweather-Maidana, Adrian Broner scored a victory. He also had lost to Maidana earlier. And a penalty on Broner soon after, Namdi.
VOA!
Tell our VOA fight fans about that.
What a silly fighter. I mean, this guy just talks anyhow. Remember, what do you expect from a guy that flushed $20 bills down the toilet? That tells you where he is mentally, you know. I mean, He made some very bad comments about Mexican fighters that he just destroyed one using the F word. Don't forget that Mexican fight fans are the biggest fans in boxing because they come out and they spend money. For you to beat one of their fighters and then on top of that, use the F word to insult the Mexican fighters, not only the Mexican fighters, but the African fighters too. WBC said, okay, enough of this until you apologize. You will not be in any sanctioned championship fight, and you will be excluded from the WBC ratings. He's just a fool, really, to make comments like that in front of fans that paid to see you fight and then on top of that insult them. He deserves to be taken out of the rankings and no championship fight until he comes to his senses, Sonny.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta. In National Basketball Association playoff action Thursday night, the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs, who met in last year's NBA Finals, both scored victories at home. The two-time defending champion Heat defeated the Brooklyn Nets 94-82, while the Spurs spanked the Portland Trail Blazers 114-97. As a result, the Spurs and the Heat both took 2-0 leads in their best-of-7 second-round series. LeBron James scored 22 points, and Chris Bosh added 18 more as Miami pulled away late in Game 2 to beat the Nets. Now, San Antonio used a balanced attack to top Portland. 7 Spurs scored at least 10 points or more, with Kawhi Leonard leading the way with a team-high 20 points. Our VOA basketball fans will remember Miami defeated San Antonio last season 4-3 in a hard-fought NBA Finals. Well, the energetic Andy Edwards is in the Czech Republic for coverage of Sunday's Prague Marathon. Ahead of the race, energetic Andy caught up with one of South Africa's greatest ever female athletes.
We're in conversation with Alana Meyer, one of the great South African runners of all time, actually. World record holder, half marathon, distinguished marathon runner. But let's start with the here and now, Alana. We can backtrack a bit into personal history. And of course, you were part of it as an Olympic silver medalist on the track. But what are you doing now? Tell us some more about your activity.
My own athletics career, you know, I went back into, you know, like, you know, giving back to the sport that really served me for many, many years. So for the first 5-6 years, I was heading up programs in terms of grassroots development programs for running, you know, but then through that discover that, you know, it doesn't help that you activate a lot of youngsters, if there's not really a pathway or events in South Africa, you know, and that then this year got involved with the Cape Town Marathon to revitalize the event. I think South Africa has got a great history of great marathon performances, but over the last 2 decades, our performance have significantly dropped down. And if you want to inspire runners, you need to create opportunities to showcase. South Africa is a country that loves running, and especially endurance running, with the two iconic events, the Comrades and Two Oceans, but really falls in the ultra marathon distances, So if we want to inspire youngsters to focus on the iconic marathon distance, you have to create a world-class event in South Africa. And that really is sort of bringing myself back onto the event side of the sport, you know, I'm really excited to be part of that.
It's one of the conundrums, isn't it, about South African athletics that, yes, as you say, you have these iconic races, but they're all ultra marathons. And of course, South African marathoning has had yourself, Hendrik Ramalho on the men's side, has some distinguished performers, but not the strength in depth. Everyone's gone to, who's got real talent, has gone to the ultras. So on the international scene, the championships, South African success has been few and far between.
Yeah, you know, I think in the 90s, South Africa won the Olympic Games with Josiah Tugwane. You know, Willie Matolu won New York Marathon, Hendrik Ramalho ran well. So we had, you know, South African athletes winning big international city marathons. Berlin Marathon, New York Marathon, Olympic Marathon. But over the last two decades, you know, I've seen a significant drop down. You know, in the 90s, we had 45 runners under 215. You know, and currently we have a handful. I really believe that part of the reasons is that the two big events in South Africa, like, you know, full day television covered, are the ultras. You know, so athletes, young athletes, move up to the ultra distances way before they should. Athletes 22 years old, you know, starting to run 90 kilometers, you know, which is not good for the development of any marathon athlete, you know. So, but to counteract that, you know, you have to have an event in South Africa. And I believe that, you know, by providing a racing opportunity, a world-class racing opportunity in South Africa, we will see the focus getting shifted back to where it should be, you know, the iconic Olympic marathon distance.
Are there enough 10Ks and half marathons? Because that's the natural way to prepare for a marathon. But are enough of those races being put on for maybe not just the elite, but the mass runner to say, hey, well, I've got a chance of breaking 3 hours, 3:30 or whatever? Or do they all start shooting for, as you say, the ultras?
You know, I think, over the last two decades, you know, from a federation and structural perspective, you know, South Africa has really, like, decreased, in terms of organization, events. I grew up in, you know, my racing was all predominantly in the 80s and 90s, you know, and we had so many world-class events, you know, even though we were not part of the international circuit, we had really well-organized events, well-remunerated events, and the sport was alive and well. I think, you know, it degenerated on a lot of different levels, you know, so from a structure, you know, our federation hasn't been run properly over the last, you know, decade. Then that caused the loss of sponsorships, investing in events, it degenerated on a lot of different levels. So I certainly don't believe that by only bringing back a world-class marathon will save the whole sport. But, you know, it certainly is one step in the right direction. You know, we obviously need world-class events, you know. You need events, you know, proper run events, from the track, cross country, you know, and on the shorter road race circuit.
Well, we wish you, Ilana, and all the team involved in the Cape Town Marathon every success. It's a beautiful city. I say that from experience, thinking of that World Cross Country Championships in the 90s, and hope the marathon in Cape Town flourishes, and that marathon running scene as well. We all know about the ultras, but it's time that we had some more strength in depth in South African distance running. Ilana Meyer, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And Ilana Meyer was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in Prague, the Czech Republic. The Czech capital is the venue for Sunday's Prague Marathon. We're now 34 days away to the kickoff of football's premier event, the World Cup in Brazil. Of the five African teams going to Brazil, the Black Stars of Ghana will certainly face some of the toughest challenges. The Black Stars are in Group G for the first round, a group that many are calling the proverbial Group of Death. It also includes the USA and European powers Germany and Portugal, who were ranked second and third overall in rankings released Thursday by FIFA, World Football's governing body. The Black Stars of Ghana were the top-performing African team at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, where they reached the quarterfinals. I asked my Ghanaian colleague, Peter Cloete, about the chances of the Black Stars advancing to the knockout stages in Brazil.
Well, they have a good chance to qualify. It will be challenging, however, because perennial contenders USA will be there. And at this time around, they appear to be very solid. Of course, you have Germany that is a powerhouse in Europe. And of course, with Cristiano Ronaldo being with Portugal, Ghana might not find it easy. But, you know, in a soccer match, anything at all can happen. So Ghanaians could take respite in the fact that they have a team that could challenge any other team in the world.
Peter, what have Ghana's World Cup preparations been like?
So far, it's been good, although it could have been better. A lot of Ghanaian sports enthusiasts say that they wished they wished the GFA, and for that matter, the coach would have had a more expansive program. But you know, so far so good. We'll see what they, because recently the coach and his team went to England to monitor what Rogers, the coach of Liverpool, is doing at the moment, to take some few tips here and there ahead of the World Cup.
Who are some of those top players in Europe for the Black Stars?
I would say you should watch out for the captain, Asamoah Gyan. Warriors, who plays in France at the moment, is in top form, scoring a lot of goals. And then you can have Dede Ayew. He got injured, but now he's back in full force. These key players will be very prominent in the Ghanaian lineup.
Ghana, one of five African teams that will be going to Brazil. If you were to pick two that could make it to the knockout stages, Peter, who do you think?
Well, I will pragmatically pick both Ivory Coast and Nigeria. But being biased, I think Ghana can pull a fast one, too.
Thanks, Peter. That's my VOA colleague, Peter Cloete. Let's take a look at Ghana's first-round World Cup schedule. The Black Stars will open their World Cup campaign June 16th when they play the United States in Natal, Brazil. Then they'll play Germany June 21st in Fortaleza, Brazil. And Ghana will wrap up group play against Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal on June 26th in Brasilia. Meanwhile, the 32 World Cup teams are facing a May 13th deadline to submit their preliminary 30-man rosters to FIFA, World Football's governing body, and their final 23-man World Cup rosters must be sent to FIFA by June 2nd. Brazil will host Croatia in the World Cup's opening match, June 12th in Sao Paulo. Also in that group are Mexico and Cameroon, who will play each other the following day, June 13th, in Natal, Brazil. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
The World Cup's opening ceremony is scheduled for June 12th in Sao Paulo, where Brazil will host Croatia in the opening match. As part of the festivities, American rapper Pitbull, American entertainer Jennifer Lopez, and Brazilian singer Claudia Leite will perform We Are One, Olé Olá, the official song of the 2014 FIFA World Cup. Let's give it a listen.
Put your flags up in the sky, in the sky. And wave them side to side. One fight, whole world, one night, one place, Brazil, everybody.
It's your world, my world, our world today. And we invite the whole world to play. En mi mundo, tu mundo, el mundo de nosotros. Invitamos a todo el mundo a jugar con nosotros.
I'm Segun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the world. Just come.
Game on, sports fans. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Just a few blocks from our Voice of America headquarters is the Verizon Center Arena, the home court of the Washington Wizards Basketball Club. I'll be heading over to the Verizon Center shortly to check out the magical and surprising Wizards. They'll host the Indiana Pacers in Game 3 of their second-round NBA playoff series, which is tied at 1-1. Join me now as we say, Go Wizards! And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Audrius Regis for his technical support of the program. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.